The following is a recording of the Sunday evening 6 p.m. service of Rangeville Community Church.
What a beautiful thing it is just to sit in the presence of God, to worship Him, to allow His Spirit to minister to us and to share together God to us and us responding to Him. Over the last while, we've been looking at the whole aspects around the Holy Spirit, and from Galatians 5. Tonight I want to bring together aspects of what we've been talking about in terms of acts of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit. I want to start with just some reflections or questions, and that is, if you want to live a healthy life, what are some of the things you would do that would increase your likelihood of having good health?
Eat healthy.
Eat healthy. I like that. Good. That's really hard at Christmas time. But that's a really good one. What else would we do?
Exercise.
Exercise well. Good. Abstain from things that are bad for you. Oh, we are making it difficult, aren't we? Sleep well. Good. All right, well, let's take up the first one, which was eat well. It's interesting. They say you are what you eat. You know it's true because everything that's in your body now is a result of something you ate. All of what you've been consuming has been accumulating within your body, and depending on what you eat will determine on what your body composition actually looks like. And if we eat certain things that are healthy, we're more likely to have a healthy life. On the other hand, if we eat more of those fatty and greasy things, then other parts in our body accumulate, which we don't always want. We can easily become overweight. Okay, so one of the other things people called out was to exercise well. Exercising is a really good, essential part of healthy living. Again, it's a balance, isn't it? Too much exercise on one hand can actually be detrimental. On the other hand, not enough exercise can also be detrimental as well. So we've got to balance that one. Think well. Do you know what you think about has a huge influence on your health? If you're constantly reflecting on things that are stressing, if you're constantly focusing on negative things, that will adversely affect your health. Whereas when we are thinking positively, when we're thinking of aspects of faith, that can very positively affect our health. And so all of these things that we've just talked about, eat well, exercise well, think well, don't dwell on the bad things, are all things that affect our health. But you know, they don't only just affect our health. Our health is a combination of all these aspects that make up our lifestyle. And so when we reflect on some of these same things, they're going to have a huge impact on our lifestyle. For instance, if you think about eat well, some people will take that to the area of, if I'm going to eat well, that becomes part of my lifestyle. And so for some people, that means that I want to grow my food myself. And so they're going to have their own veggie garden because they want to eat what they know has been healthy. Or some people say, I will go to the farmers' markets. That's where I'm going to buy healthy food. Your lifestyle and your food determines whether you go to McDonald's family restaurant, Macca's, or whether you go to the organic coffee shop. Okay, all of that is part of your lifestyle. The same is true with exercise. Exercise can become part of your lifestyle. Some people deliberately choose to get up early and go to the gym at the start of the day. Is that true? Or they finish the day's work and they go to the gym. Some people play recreational sport, or they go jogging or cycling or swimming, or play some sport fixtures in order that they stay healthy. But that becomes part of their lifestyle as well. The same is true in terms of what you think about. A classic here is, are you worried about your fear of missing out? FOMO. It's a huge issue. Do you know the average iPhone user, this is Apple data, the average iPhone user swipes their phone, connects or turns on their phone 80 times a day. Now, if you do the sums, if you sleep 8 hours a day, that means that in the other 16 hours a day, you're averaging an access of your phone every 6 minutes. That's what Apple tells us. And so there you go, it's true. All right. Okay? You know, that level of interaction is going to impact your lifestyle. That's just a reality. And so over these last few months, we've been looking at things that affect our health and things that become part of our lifestyle. And so we've been looking at that in terms of spiritual aspects, as well as some of the things I've just been talking about, which are physical or mental health aspects. So Galatians 5 really challenges us about our lifestyle. What does a Christian lifestyle look like? And what does it look like when Christ is the center of what we do? Or when we ourselves become the centre of what we do. And that has a huge impact here. Because the reality is that when we are at the centre, that is, self is at the centre, our lifestyle becomes a very selfish lifestyle. And Galatians 5 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So what are these desires of the flesh? We often call them temptations. They're desires or wants or yearnings or feelings that come from within about the things that we want. So they come from self. And if these desires are not restrained, then there's a high probability that they become not only what we think about, but what we do. And in that way, they move from a desire of the flesh to become an act of the flesh. And that's the challenge for us. Because in Galatians 5, what we're seeing is that the desires of the flesh, if not restrained, become those acts of the flesh. And this is what the passage says. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. And so over the second half of this year, we've spent a number of weeks looking at these various aspects of what it means to have been living with some of those issues as temptations, or temptations that actually play out to become acts of the flesh. And then how do we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us so that we do not continue in that as a way of life, as part of our lifestyle. Now, when you look at those acts of the flesh, what do you notice apart from they're not morally good things to do? They're all about me. I don't mean me, I mean us. I mean self. They're all self-focused. So when we look at these, sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, what are they? They are when we want our sexual needs to be met without consideration of the other person or people. We're not necessarily caring for their joy, their pleasure. We're not necessarily respecting them or caring for them, long as our selfish sexual desires are being met. Idolatry and witchcraft is where we put me at the center of my worship experience. It's where we're saying that I will choose to worship whoever I want to, long as I feel good about that. Hatred. Hatred is usually because we've been hurt by someone, and as a result of not letting go of that hurt, we say, I hate them because. See, it's about how I respond to someone or something. Jealousy and envy, well, that speaks for itself, doesn't it? We're jealous because someone's got something that we want and we haven't got. And so we become jealous of that. I want that for myself. I envy that. Anger or rage. Well, usually it's about me. What I want to happen didn't happen here and I lost my temper as a result. It's the usual cause of anger and rage. Selfish ambition. Again, it speaks for itself, doesn't it? It's right. It's about selfishness. It's about, I will do what I need to do to get where I want to go. Dissensions and factions. It's about trying to align people with our own personal view. We all believe the same thing because we're right. That's what a faction is all about. Drunkenness and orgies. This is usually self-medicating our own problems in life, causing people to do things that are unhealthy for themselves and usually to try and dull the pain of something that's been happening in their lives. So Every one of these acts of the flesh is actually about me. It's about self. It's about putting me at the very center and fulfilling my own selfish desires. That's what drives acts of the flesh, or as Galatians refers to them, desires of the flesh that grow to become acts of the flesh. And so over this second half of this year, we've been talking about how do you overcome these by walking in the Spirit. What does it mean to acknowledge that there are these temptations, but how do we, through the grace of God and the indwelling of the Spirit, learn to move beyond those? And, you know, it's interesting. You know that there are morals that our society holds that says that many of these things are wrong. In fact, in some of these areas, there are laws about some of these things. So, selfish ambition. You might say, well, there's no laws about selfish ambition. Well, it's interesting how many court cases there have been recently and major news headlines about corrupt officials, about corrupt businessmen and businesswomen who have used corruption and selfish ambition in their workplace to elevate their own finances, power or authority. Is that true? It's driven from selfish ambition. Or what about the area of drunkenness? Again, there are laws about that. Why? Because drink driving is a serious issue. It's a criminal offence, as is being drunk and disorderly. You see, these laws, if we go right back to what they're addressing, they're actually addressing acts of the flesh, which is about self. And so it's interesting because we can know that these acts of the flesh are wrong, and you know you shouldn't do them, but people still struggle. They struggle with these temptations, their desires about these, and then can act on those temptations, those desires of the flesh, which grow to become acts of the flesh. Because, you know, just because you know something is wrong doesn't mean you don't do it. For instance, for those of you who have a driver's license here, has anyone here ever exceeded the speed? Okay. But for those who do, have you exceeded the speed limit? Lying is also... we know it's wrong, don't we? But do we do it? See, just because you know something is wrong doesn't mean you're not tempted to do it at times. And you can justify it. I'm in a hurry. Oh, it's fun. Whatever your justification is, you know it's wrong. You know if you get caught, you're going to be in trouble. But you can still do it. Yeah. And so when we talk about acts of the flesh, there are things here that just because you know it's wrong doesn't mean that you're not going to do it. So the question is, how can you shift from this place where we put ourself and our own selfish desires at the centre, which lead us to desires of the flesh and acts of the flesh? And how do we overcome that? We overcome it through putting Christ at the centre. We overcome it because when we put Christ at the centre, then the Spirit dwells within us. And so Galatians 5 also says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You see, when we put Christ at the centre of our lives, we are inviting the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to live within us, and to become the centre of who we do instead of ourselves at the centre. Last time I was preaching as part of this series, I made this comment. Living by the Spirit will not remove or prevent desires or feelings that are wrong. But living by the Spirit gives us the power to overcome those desires or feelings. The Spirit gives us the strength to avoid acting on those desires or feelings. But there's another incredible thing, and that is when we live by the Spirit, when we keep in step with the Spirit starts to change us. It actually starts to change who we are. And this is a really big change. Because you see, the acts of the flesh, when you look at the list, they're all about things that we do. They are acts. They are our actions. They're what we do. With the fruit of Spirit is not what we do. It's actually who we are. And there's a really big difference in these two. And who we are then is reflected in our lifestyle. That then determines what we do. It's interesting. When we look at Galatians 5:19, it starts off, the acts of the flesh are obvious. So in other words, these are all things that refer to different things that people do. It's interesting when we compare that, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Now note, it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. How many people here went to Sunday school, and when you're in Sunday school, you learnt that love is an apple, and joy is a mango, and peace is a pear, or whatever it is. You cut out all these different fruits for, and you wrote a name of each of the fruit on one of those cutouts. Did anyone ever do that? And you finished up with 9 different fruit? Yeah. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. It's singular. You see, there is one fruit, and all 9 of these aspects that we're going to look at are dimensions or aspects of one fruit. So, to create a bit of an analogy here, there might be some people here who enjoy a nice glass of wine. And for someone who's got a good wine-tasting palate, they are able to discern a number of characteristics of a wine by taking a sip. Not a swig. Just taking a sip. And they can talk about its sweetness. They talk about its acidity, the level of tannins in it, about the alcohol content and the body of the wine. And so by taking a mouthful of wine, they are measuring all of these 5 different dimensions at the same time and combining those to say this is a good wine, this is a good vintage, or it's not. One wine, many different dimensions to its taste and therefore to its experience. Well, it's similar with the fruit of the Spirit. Here there are 9 different aspects or components of the fruit, and each is unique. Each is readily identifiable, and yet together they make up one fruit of the Spirit. And so let's look at these 9 components or aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. We often use the word patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we saw earlier that the acts of the flesh were all about me, that is, putting self at the centre and our own selfish desires, whereas when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, they are all other-focused. So what we discover is that with love, we choose to love God and love one another. Joy. We choose to walk in the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, even when we're not happy. Peace. Peace is derived from the Jewish concept of shalom, which is about flourishing, it's about peace, it's about prosperity, it's about wellness. It's a peace that we have within it that blesses those around about us, and that we desire the shalom of God to come onto those around about us. Forbearance or patience involves us being patient with another person. It's expressing a sense of, I'm going to stay with you, I'm going to walk with you, even when it's difficult. Kindness is about being kind to others. It's about treating them well. Goodness is probably more accurately reflected in the word generosity. And it's about giving to others to make sure they're well cared for. Faithfulness is faithfulness to God and to others so that we support them, so that we bless them. Gentleness is being gentle to others. Self-control is choosing to control our own selfish desires because we realise it's not just about self. You see, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, yes, they can apply to us, but more extensively they apply to those around about us because they're not self-focused. Acts of the flesh are self-focused. Fruit of the Spirit are other-focused. Why? Because Christ is at the centre. And therefore the overflow of that is to those around about us. So what is the evidence of Jesus being at the centre of our lives? It is that the Spirit is increasingly revealing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And as the fruit of the Spirit matures, just as a fruit matures on the tree, the flavour increases. It becomes more discernible. It becomes more evident. It becomes more enjoyable. As we grow in the Spirit, we learn to keep in step with the Spirit, and therefore we reveal more evidence of the fruit of the Spirit to those around about us. If you squeeze an orange, what do you get? Do you know, my mum taught me that if you wanted to squeeze an orange, and we had the old style, you know, orange squeezer, that before you squeezed the orange to get your orange juice, you would actually put it on the table and you would rub it really hard. Anyone else ever learn that? Yeah. Okay. Why? Because you're breaking all of those little nodules, all of those little cells and gatherings inside the orange. You're breaking them up and squeezing them all. And so then when you cut the orange in half, the juice flows out more easily. You get more juice from your orange when you do that. I can't do this to a living human being. So if you squeeze a person, what do you get? If you put them under pressure, you squeeze someone through overwork. You squeeze them because they are feeling so emotionally drained and empty, and someone says a final word that's just going to break them. They just feel squeezed and empty and dry. What happens? Well, if you squeeze someone too much when they're like that, they just might lose their temper, mightn't they? Or if you squeeze someone like that over a long term, what happens? They might start drinking a bit too much, a bit too regularly. Or you squeeze someone too much like that and they're looking for an out, and so they get attracted to the guy or the girl who works in the next cubicle, and suddenly an affair starts. You see, if we are at the centre, when people get squeezed, it's likely to finish in an act of the flesh. Whereas, if Christ is at the centre, and we allow the Spirit to be changing us, and allowing that fruit to be developing within us, we find that when we are put under pressure, Jesus' juice comes out. The fruit of the Spirit. That we can love even when work is treating us badly. That we can still have joy even in unhappy circumstances, because God is still good to us. We can be in a workplace where there is conflict and we feel the pressure of that, but we can still walk in peace within that workplace. You see, we mightn't have a lot, but we can still be good and generous. You see, when a Christian is put under pressure, as they allow Jesus to be at the centre, and as they grow in the fruit of the Spirit, because the Spirit is maturing within them, when they are put under pressure, the fruit of the Spirit manifests instead of the acts of the flesh. And that's the challenge for us, to be able to increasingly grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Just recently I was having a conversation with someone. This was someone who's been really struggling with one or more acts of the flesh. And as a result of it, it's been really impacting their relationships. It's been really impacting their relationship with God. And so we've been journeying, we've been talking, we've been praying over a considerable period of time, just believing for God to break through in this situation. And as we've done that, we've seen that this person was increasingly moving out of the selfish desires they had and the way that they were fulfilling those selfish desires through acts of the flesh. And they were inviting Jesus into that situation. They were inviting Jesus to become the centre of their life. And guess what? As Jesus came more into the centre, their desire for the acts of the flesh started to diminish. As Jesus came more into the centre, their love for others started to grow. Their joy in their walk with God suddenly went to a whole new level. Their peace with themselves and with some others where there'd been strained relationships suddenly started to change. Why? Because they were putting Jesus at the centre instead of self. That was manifesting as the fruit of the Spirit. And it transformed and is transforming their relationship with God and with other significant people in relationships with them. They were commenting that their relationship with God has gone to a whole new level. Their awareness of the Holy Spirit in their life is more dynamic and real than it's ever been before. And they weren't sitting there thinking, I've got to love more. Oh, I've got to be more joyful. Oh, I've got to be more peaceful. No, what they did was they said, Jesus, you come and be the centre. Holy Spirit, you manifest in my life. Holy Spirit, I'm giving you permission to change me. And as that happened, their life was transforming. The fruit of the Spirit was manifesting. It's been awesome to watch. And it's available for us. It's available for every one of us. And so my question to you tonight is, if you are still struggling with any of the acts of the flesh or any other challenge in your life, take some time and ask, who's at the centre? Is it still me at the centre wanting what I want, or am I willing to say, Jesus, I want you to be the centre? Holy Spirit, I want to walk in step with you. Holy Spirit, I want to see you manifest in my life. And as you do that, you will see the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. These will start to flourish and abound. And so tonight I just want to do, as we've been doing in our evening services and morning services, is just to ask that question of God, what are you saying? God, what are you saying to me tonight? And let's just take a minute and reflect on that question. God, what are you saying to me tonight? Is there an area of my life where I'm still in the center? And then ask yourself, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with what I've just heard? Whether you've heard it through the message, whether you've heard it through a song tonight, whether you've heard it just now, as God has said to you, actually there still is an area where you're wanting to be in the driver's seat, where you're wanting to be the centre. What will I do with what I've just heard? And I encourage you, invite Jesus to be the centre. Can I invite you to say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, because I want to be in step with you. Come, Holy Spirit, and manifest in my life.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.